Before we open God's word, let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and may thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As we gather together in this quiet place, with reverent hearts we come before thee, in faith believing that we are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and that thou art in our midst. And oh, how we need thy presence and thy Spirit's guidance to instruct our hearts and to teach us thy living and true word that has come from heaven and is given and shared into our hearts this day. We pray that thou would bless thy word, O Lord, and teach us, help us to follow in ways that please thee, to serve thee and bring thee our thanks and praise, both now and forevermore, through Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn this morning with the Lord's help to Matthew chapter 22. I'd like to read the entire chapter. Matthew 22.
Ljubezni, da nađeno je da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju iz 22. glave. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju, glava 22.
And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king unto the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Then went the Pharisees, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled, and left him, and went their way. And the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Which, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before him in prayer.
Our loving God,
the Lord has been searching for his lost sheep. Throughout the ages, we read in the Scriptures of how God has called men to lives of faith, like Abraham. He called him out from his hometown to an unknown land, but to trust in God and to look forward to a better country. Men like Moses, who he called out of Pharaoh's house to become his servant and to lead his people out of bondage into a new and promised land. In the times of the prophets, the men were sent out by God to speak his word and teach a lesson of coming out of an idolatrous culture and mingling with the world to a life of repentance and separation unto God. Throughout the ages, God has been searching for his lost sheep. Some have responded positively. Many have turned him away. Many have chosen their own way and to do their own things and not to be a part of the kingdom of God. And they choose to themselves pain, suffering, in exchange for pleasures that only last a season. And even though man has turned his back on God so many times, and has, it would seem, exhausted his opportunities to return, God sent his son, and they named him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And he came to love and to heal and to forgive. And they still turned their backs on him, by and large. And they killed him because they did not believe what he said. But the scripture needed to be fulfilled. And we know why he went to that cross. He went to fulfill his Father's will. He went to provide for us a way of salvation that we could be healed and forgiven And we can be reconciled and become part of this kingdom of God. That we can enjoy the joy that is set before him in his presence, as it were, this marriage feast that will take place. The rejoicing with the Lord for eternity. And he calls. And now he turns his calling from those that were bidden and proven that they were not worthy. And he said to the servants, go into the highways. Go into the nowhere places. And call the common people. Call those that feel the weight of their sin and feel that they have no hope. And show them that there is a way of hope. That there is an open door to the king's house and to this feast. And there's an invitation. And they went out one at a time. Going out to call those who were out in those highways and byways of life. That's where we are. We're on the highway of life. And we're traveling. And we're journeying. And sometimes there comes a word, a prayer, a word of encouragement, some kindness, some revelation of the grace of God in some way. And that's an invitation. That's an invitation of the Good Shepherd calling out to lost sheep. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, everyone that comes and receives the word of Jesus Christ, he will give to them power to become the sons of God. He will give to them a calling, a holy calling that is a life of sanctification, a life of obedience, a life of service, a life of yielding our will and embracing his will. Embracing the truth day by day. And in that life, there is hope, there is freedom, there is joy, and one and all are invited. Many times, Jesus' call of teaching and invitation went out across the countrysides, in the synagogues, in the temple where he taught, and these Pharisees and Sadducees that brought him questions, they heard his teaching, and they rejected it. And they didn't like that Jesus was receiving attention from the crowds. They had hoped that that would be theirs. And they begin to ask questions of Jesus to discredit him. They ask him a question about whether it was lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not. I imagine that they were expecting that there would be one of two answers, either a yes or a no. And they had a response, I'm sure, prepared. If he would say, yes, it's lawful to give tribute to Caesar, they would probably go to the crowds of the Jews that resented, perhaps, the ruling of the Romans, and discredited Jesus among the crowds. And then they would hope to claim them back as their own. Or if Jesus would say, no, don't give tribute to Caesar, then they would perhaps turn to the Roman government and say, look how this man is teaching against giving tribute to Caesar and violating the Roman law, and get Jesus in trouble there. And they were ready. They figured they had a question that would trip and cause Jesus to stumble. So that they could get out of the conviction that was in their hearts that they knew was true. That Jesus was a teacher of truth. He wasn't partial in his dealings with men. And what he said was the truth. And they needed to respond. They didn't want to, so they figured they would try to get out of it or discredit the Lord. And they, as it were, kicked against the pricks, something that's hard yet true. And Jesus perceived their wickedness. Oftentimes Jesus perceived, even as we heard last Lord's Day, that Jesus saw the faith of the four men that brought their friend. He saw their faith. He saw into their hearts. He knew what their motives were. And he sees the motives of these Pharisees. And he knew that it was wickedness that they were thinking in their hearts. And it's just as true today. Jesus knows our hearts. He sees our faith. He sees everything that's true. And we can learn from the example of these Pharisees that chose unwisely to avoid the truth and to avoid Jesus' words. And we can choose otherwise. We can embrace. We can yield. We can agree with the Lord and agree with his word and thank him that he has been merciful and called us, and humble ourselves and repent while there's still time. Because Jesus knows the truth. And Jesus sees our faith when it is placed in him. When the world doubts and when the world scoffs and the world says, you're wasting your time. But Jesus sees the faith, and he knows that that's not in vain, and he will reward accordingly. So let's trust in him. Let's hope in him. Jesus says, show me the tribute money. They brought him a penny. He showed to them that money that they had maybe wanted to hold on to had Caesar's image and superscription, his name and his face. So it was Caesar's. And so Jesus answers them the question, but he doesn't say yes, and he doesn't say no. He says, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And in this answer, he renders to men the things that is man's. And that is a choice. And a knowledge of the truth, an ability to decide what you will do with it. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. You know the truth. You know who that belongs to. You know where those things are valued. So do accordingly. Let you decide. Now they have nowhere to point the finger. They need to look to themselves and say, well, what is right? What is true? And they are put into a position where they have been rendered what is theirs, a will. It's ours to do what we will. Whether we hold on to it and secure our will for the decisions of our everyday life, or whether we yield it to God. All that we have, all that we are, is a gift of God, and it's due unto him. And the word teaches us, and Jesus is teaching us, do what is right. Do what is right. You know the truth. Follow the truth, and the truth will set you free. They heard the words, and they marveled, and they left him, and they went their way. Yet some hear the word of Jesus Christ, and they take up the cross, and they follow in Jesus' way. They decide it's right to serve the Lord. It's right to yield my heart, my all, unto him in a loving trust and faith, because he has done so much. He's God, and I'm not. So we give what is due. What can we give to the Lord? What is the Lord's? The things that are God's. As we ponder our path and the things that cause us worry or concern, let us remember that tomorrow is God's. It's not in our control what joys or what pain will come to us, but it's in the Lord's hands. When we place tomorrow in the Lord's hands and trust Him with it, we're placing ourselves in His hands and trusting ourselves to Him, as the scripture says, as unto a faithful Creator, committing our souls to Him. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to believe that He is a faithful Creator, that He has made us, that He can sustain us, that He is the source of life and life eternal through Jesus Christ, and that there would be no other way, and that we would hold our confidence in Him and trust to our tomorrows unto the Lord. Render to God the things that are God's. Jesus has asked us to learn of Him. He's meek and lowly in heart. We're taught in the scripture to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And we read in the scripture, the prophecies of Isaiah, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely, truly, He has carried our griefs and sorrows. How easy it is for us to take them back, to want to manage them, to hold them, to fix them. But He's borne them, and He's carried them. In His cruel death on the cross, all that suffering, all that grief, those tears, and the pain that we go through, He's so acquainted with it. And He is our source of healing for it. Do we leave it with Him? Do we leave those times when our hearts would condemn us, when we would doubt and fear, when we would suffer wrongfully, or any pain, would we know that He has carried it for us and trust Him and not put our faith in ourselves, not put our faith in what others could do to alleviate the pain, but in the Lord. Render to God what is God's. Most of all, the Lord wants us, each and every one, to yield our hearts, to give Him our heart, all of our love, all of our obedience, our entire will, our entire being. He wants us to give it to Him in faith and in trust and in love. And that's what we're called to today. As we're invited to the marriage, as we're invited to fellowship with the Lord, May we give our hearts to him and follow in his way, in the way of Jesus Christ. He teaches us a burden that is light and easy when we trust in him, and gives a great commandment for us to take with us, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jesus also taught his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. We think of the suffering that he bore for us, and the great love, the way that he loved us. There's no bounds. There's no limit. How gracious and free his invitation and his kindness have been toward us. He has shown us an example in the way to love with all the heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord is seeking lost sheep. And he's come to heal those that are sick and need a physician. There are many things perhaps in our hearts, the pains, the worries, our need for salvation that may be on our minds, concerns for others. But even as we had prayed, as a brother led us in prayer this morning, to ask the Lord to call those who are lost, call those who are outside the fold. May he continue to do that. May his voice be heard. And may we each follow the voice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose word we've read this morning. Amen.
Chapter we've read today, after an invitation to this wedding supper, there were many questions. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, even a lawyer had questions for him. They tried to entangle him in his words. Couldn't do it. He had the answers. He had the answers for him. And so it is even today in this day and age. He has, if you feel that you've been invited to this feast and this supper, Christ has the answers for you. If you don't know where to turn, what to do, there are ministering brothers here that are more than willing to counsel with you and help you with your questions as well. Christ has the answers to all of our questions. We just need to look in this word and find them. So may God bless these words upon our hearts and find the answers for each of us. Amen.